Okay, so I'm taking you through on a series. We're looking at the seven signs that are in John's Gospel. And if you recall, I told you that John, when he wrote his book, he did it in two parts. Okay, and the first part had these seven signs in, and then the second part was the biggest sign of all. And he told us about Jesus' death and resurrection and what God has done for us in Jesus. Okay, so what is John's motive for writing the signs? Well, he tells you in chapter 20, verse 30. He says, "But these signs are written that you," say you, no, it's very personal today. Oi, it's one of those ones. Hello, church. How you doing? Are you ready yet? You need to find your voice. It's one of those mornings. You love these ones. Should we try again? Yeah, you. But these signs are written that... Getting there. May believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and... that by believing, you may have life in his name. And that's what we're going to do in this time of studying the Bible together. So if you're looking at me for the answers, forget it. Right, exactly, looking in the wrong place. So you're going to be asking yourself these questions. The story that we're going to do, what does this sign say to you? What do you see about Jesus, about God's character and God's ways? And what do you believe about Jesus now that you've seen this sign? Because believing in Jesus will give you life. And a lot of you need a heck of a lot of life this morning. Loving you, but really, okay? So here you go. I'm going to give you a quick overview of the seven signs. Okay, the first one was when Jesus turned the water into wine. We've done that one. The second one we're doing is healing of an official's son in Capernaum. The third is healing an invalid at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. Fifth is feeding the 5,000. Sixth, walking on water. Did you notice my numbers and fingers didn't go together? See, you just weren't watching. Walking on the water at the sea near Galilee and healing of a blind man in Jerusalem, which is my favourite. I can't wait to get to that one. Oh, did I miss one? Oh, that's why the numbers didn't work with my fingers. Okay. Ah, you get it. It's up there, Ron. That's why we write it down. Thank you for listening. Okay, now... I've brought it down to these seven signs, but we always, always, always have to remember that John is telling a big story, okay? So what's the big story that John is telling us? Well, he is telling us that God has initiated the new Exodus. Now, in the Old Testament, God supernaturally leads his people out of slavery from Egypt, and he takes them onto a journey into the Promised Land, yeah? Okay, so John is telling us that God, through Jesus, has stepped into our world and therefore the new Exodus has begun. Okay, only this time, God isn't going to take us on a journey to a piece of land or a geographical location. This time, this Exodus, and get this, you're living in the new Exodus right now. This is the journey that's going to take you into the kingdom of God. And into his presence and his kingdom and his ways, okay? That's pretty cool, hey? Yeah. That's what I thought too. Now, there is a mark of the new Exodus, right? Because all of the signs are miracles of blessing. So in the Old Testament, before the Exodus and even during it, there was a lot of judgment, you know? I mean, do you remember the plagues? Right, give me one of the plagues. Frogs. I know. Blood. Boils. Gnats. Hail. Death. Are you getting the picture? Blackness. So, are you getting the picture? So, it's not pleasant, is it? Right? That's the old Exodus. For whatever reason that I cannot understand, our God has decided that in the new Exodus, all of the signs, rather than being plagues, will actually be miracles of blessing. And I don't understand it, because this, you know, might be a bit of a shock to you, or maybe not. But you know what? You're not that special. You're not that different. It's not like we are nicer people than the Egyptians were or the Israelites were in that time. It's not like we deserve those miracles of blessing. It is just what God has decided he is going to do. Okay? And aren't you glad for that, eh, church? All right. So this big picture, this idea that we are part of a new Exodus, we're on a journey where God is journeying us into the kingdom of God, that is really important that we remember that big picture when we're also looking now at the detail of these signs, okay? Because John is not simply telling us the story of Jesus. He is telling you your story. He's saying, you're on this journey. You're on the new Exodus. Here's what you could be or should be. Or, I don't know what the word is. Huh, could be, should be. Maybe. That's the problem with us, isn't it? We take the promises of God and we go, maybe. But he's not. He's wanting to move us to a place of faith where we're actually going, I'm part of the new Exodus. I'm coming into the kingdom of God. This is my story that John is telling. I'm a part of this. Okay. So before we go anywhere, you've got to ask yourself, really, haven't you? Where are you at? Come on. You don't answer. But you do in your heads. Are you in a place of slavery and bondage and feeling like every circumstance is dictating your choices rather than you making the choice in those circumstances? Or are you in the place of journeying into the promised land and into the kingdom of God? And how did John put it? He said, but, and. Did he say but or and? That's probably quite important. And. By believing in the name of Jesus, you get life, yeah? So that journey of life, where are you at? Slavery or life? Let's be honest, right? I think sometimes as Christians we think, oh yeah, I've got life, I remember. So, I mean, admit it if you don't, yeah? Let's have a bit of reality, yeah? I'm not suggesting that we always go around going, yay, life in Jesus' name. We don't, do we? Oh, I don't. Okay, so what if John is saying that we can have life by believing in the name of Jesus? You've got to then also ask yourself another question. Where am I at? And life, what does that even look like? Life in Jesus' name, what does that look like? How will I recognize it? How do I know if I'm living in it? And then also asking yourself the question, are you living in his name? Now, it's not an easy, quick answer, really, and that's why we're doing these signs. Because if we look at the signs, what will happen is our faith in Jesus will actually start believing Jesus again. I think, if we're sort of honest, belief and faith in Jesus has got a bit rocky in the church, not just here, but globally. But if we look at these signs, we can start to move into that place, and that's the aim of this. It's John's aim, and it's my aim. So we did the first sign last time I preached, which was when Jesus turned the water that was being held in those big jars that they used for ceremonial washing. The water was in there, was used for religious purposes to make you clean. Jesus chose to use those jars and turn them into water. Do you know what I was thinking? If I was Jesus, I wouldn't have done that. I would have taken the last little bit of wine in the bottle of the wine bottle, and I just would have had the people going around, like, and keep pouring it and it just never would stop, because then you'd all think I was Elijah. Yeah? And the widow's oil? I would have done that. He just doesn't know how to do it, does he? No. He had a different idea, a very different sign that he wanted to show us. And so we read the story and we came up with three major signs to us, three major revelations. And the first one that we saw was that Jesus performed that miracle only because Mary asked him to. It wasn't Jesus's choice per se. He just did it. He didn't go in and think, oh, I'm going to do this now. He did it because Mary asked him to. He responded to Mary. And we believe in a God who does things simply because we talk to him about it. That's an amazing sign, isn't it? The second thing that you guys saw was that Jesus used the people who the world said were untrustworthy, lacking, not that important, not even slightly important. They've not even been invited as guests to the wedding. Yeah? He used slaves and he used women. And it was those people that Jesus revealed himself to. So God takes the things that the world says is of nothing, of no consequence, and he says, and to you, I'm going to show myself, okay? And the third one we saw was, like, it's really not life and death issue, is it? You know, running out of wine at a wedding, I mean, it's going to be really embarrassing for the family. They are never going to live this down, okay? But, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. Well, it was for the family, but, you know, the only reason God did it was because, Mary asked, but also because that family would have been embarrassed and would have had shame. You have a God who actually covers your shame. You know, covers you when you're going to be embarrassed, actually steps into that space. That's a higher level of love, isn't it, really? And like I say, we didn't really talk about the fact that the jars that Jesus chose were the ones that were used for washing away sins. We didn't really talk about that, the fact that Jesus took the water and turned it into wine. And I think that's because on that one we do believe that, okay? I think the idea that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins, which is what that's a sign, we all believe that. And so that one we all agreed on. The other three shot the life out of us, didn't it? So, all right, so do you remember doing that? Okay, so we're going to do it again. Yay! Okay, I'm going to read you the second sign. And these are the questions that you're going to be asking yourself. Now, just remember, you can't get it wrong. Because all you're doing, I'm not asking you, I've done the Bible study, okay? So you're all right. Well, maybe. But what does this sign, what story, what do you see in this? What does it provoke in you? You know, and you don't need to have the answers either. And if you say something and I don't know, I'll find out, okay? Sound okay? So you can't get it wrong. But what you can do is engage with the scripture, because this is a sign to you that you will believe, that you will have life. So, okay, let's read it as such. What's it saying to you? So our questions. What does this story say to you? That's what we ask the kids every week in Kids Church. What does it tell you about God is like? What happens when God steps into our world? And what do you believe now about Jesus because of these signs? Okay, all these questions are asking the same sort of idea. You got it?
Yep.
Yeah?
It's all very exciting. Do you think we should pray? Yeah.
Okay. Lord God, we pray as we come around your word together that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us. You would help us, Lord God, as we hear the words and we read them, Lord, to allow it to hit our hearts and minds. And we pray that, Lord, you would provoke us. We pray, Lord God, that this really would be a sign to us and cause us to ask questions, because that's what the signs are for, to make us ask questions of ourselves and of you, Lord God. Lord, we so want to believe in Jesus. We so want to be a people who are living, believing in the life that we have because of Jesus' name. Lord, come, we pray. Amen. All right. So this is chapter 4. Jesus heals an official's son. At the end of 2 days in Samaria, so in other words, this is a follow-on from a story. It's part of a big journey that Jesus is on. At the end of 2 days in Samaria, Jesus went to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. As he travelled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official. Church, I don't know if he's Roman or Jew, the government. He probably was part of Herod's temple, palace, sorry, and Herod's government, but I've got no idea if he's Roman or Jewish. So there's this government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and he begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. Okay? Now, I'm going to need 2 roving mics and 2 rovers. Oh, go you! One each side. Because last time we couldn't hear each other, could we? Okay? So, dun, dun, dun! What does this story say to you? Who wants to go first? There you go. Hang on. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not me.
It says to me that despite the politics, despite not being a Jew, that the message of what Jesus was doing and saying had reached the ears of the Romans, and some of them were able to perceive that there was more to this than what Rome might have told them. They were able to see and analyze it for themselves and make their own decision about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Joyce?
Well, mine is simple. It just tells me how the compassion, the kindness, the love, how everything that our God is comes out in this story, I believe.
Hmm. Who else?
Just very simply, too, that Jesus speaks life and he doesn't have to be there, but he just speaks and it is done.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing that he could say to that guy, "Your son's healed," and the guy just went? You know? I mean, wouldn't you want to say, "Yeah, okay, that's very cool. Really glad you said that. Can you just come and lay hands on him?" They were talking about a long trip, you know? So, yeah. Good point.
But also, the son, how would he know who the son was?
Mm-hmm.
He knew who the Son was.
So God is aware of so much more. And there's also, that's a good point, actually, because there's a faith in Jesus, isn't there? That when he calls on the name of the Father's going to answer. Because Jesus doesn't know this boy. Jesus is still human, okay? His difference is that he actually believes that when he talks to the Father listens and he's obeying the Father, yeah? That's the difference between us and Jesus, right? And so he's not going to have that, you know, special goggles or something that doesn't enable supernatural goggles so he can see the kid or whatever. He just knows that if he says it, God will do it and he doesn't have to go there. So it's faith on Jesus' part as well as on... So.
I think it just shows the faith of the official.
Yeah.
He went away and he believed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He trusted.
He did. I think that's incredible. So, what else?
One of the things I keep seeing about this is we have to participate. We often want God just to intervene without us either asking or doing, or he sought him out, he went and found him, and that's why it happened.
Yeah. So we're back to participation again. Someone has to ask a question. Do you want to know a secret sin of mine? So it's been taped. No, don't do it. So I was walking from my kitchen to the car. And I thought, oh, I must pray for that. And then I thought, do you know what, Lord? I'm not going to pray because you're going to blooming well do whatever you want anyway. Hello, I know. And so, well, if someone does want to keep trying to sell houses. But anyway, I'm blaming you. And that's the other thing I did was blame everyone I was supposed to be praying for. Forget sometimes he is the sovereign God who works because he partners with us. It's how he's chosen to do it. And I don't always like his answers, I have to admit. But you know that thing? Yeah, you're just going to do what you like anyway, aren't you? So by the time I got in the car and drove down the road, I repented, but sort of. I was still a bit miffed. Anyway, who was next? Oh, there.
I love the simplicity of the story
mm-hmm.
and the process. It was a simple request and the answer was done.
Yeah. Two more?
Verse, what is it here, 48 stands out. Unless you people see miracles or miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. And it kind of talks to me about the fact that Jesus actually had a different agenda or a different picture or story to tell than what he was actually engaged in to show them.
Yeah.
And that we're on a journey with him to learn and discover that.
Okay, we need to pick up, before we move on, sorry, I do need to pick up on that one, okay? Oh. Because actually in this story and also in the story with Mary, if you look at Jesus' responses, he is not kind and he's not polite. So with Mary comes to him and says, you know, Jesus, you need to help us out here. And Jesus' response to his mother, I'll tell you, if my kids spoke to me like this, his response to his mother was, woman, what's that got to do with me? Now, when he said woman over here, well, Daniel calls me womany person, but that's a different thing. When someone calls you woman, it's quite derogatory, isn't it? Actually, in this case, it's more along the lines of ma'am. It's more like a polite way of addressing someone, but it's very formal, okay? And so Mary comes to him in relationship, and Jesus' response is to come at her with formality. Madam? Why are you asking me this? Right? And it's like, and he's, so we've got that different way of talking to us than we would expect either God to speak to us, but even, you know, that kind of close relationship. He changes that. He does the same here. Remember what has happened, right? So put yourself in that official's place. Your kid, your son is dying. Right? And you come in to Jesus and you're like, you've got to come and help. My kid is dying. And Jesus turns around to you and goes, unless I do signs, you just won't believe in me, will you? Do you not find that harsh? Do you not question? I mean, look, if I did that in this church, right? We had someone come in there like, Julie, we really need to get the elders just to come round and pray for us because we're in that place. And I turn around and say, unless I flip and will come and pray for you lot, you just don't believe, do you? I would hope you'd fire me, you know? What happened to compassion? Wouldn't you? Oh, please tell me you would. You know, there's enough accountability in this church, yeah? Right, it's not acceptable, is it? So what is it that Jesus is doing here? Because we know he is compassionate. We know he's good. I tell you for one thing, he does not respect titles and positions. This is the official, you know? This is someone you should... He's really not good at that. I said to him, Jesus, you really don't get culture, do you? You just don't respect our cultures and our ways. But you've got to ask yourself the question, because if this is a sign to us, is it a sign that God is harsh with us, uncompassionate? Well, it can't be, because Joyce has already said she saw the kindness and goodness of God in this. But you've got to ask the question, eh? I think there's a bigger thing here. It's a bigger thing that with sort of, like you said, Steve, it's like there's this thing that Jesus is seeing that we just don't, yeah? There's a motive, there's a heart, and Jesus is provoking so he can get to a bigger question. We'll come back to that, and if I don't, remind me, okay? We have to know what that bigger thing is because it's the whole point of this sign. But I want to hear Neville.
Okay. There?
Yep.
Yep. I was just thinking that this man must have heard a lot about Jesus. He just didn't come out of the blue.
Yeah, like
whether he heard what had happened in Samaria, which is unlikely because he wouldn't have been there. Or a fisher might be there. But he just had a faith that what he said would be, and he just walked off and said, mm-hmm. See you then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? What did you say? Oh, Jill at the back. Awesome.
Just what Devil said. I'm not sure he did have a faith. I think he probably heard the stories and thought, it's worth a try. My kid is dying.
Yeah.
And I think that's perhaps why he wanted Jesus to go, because that's what Jesus had. He'd heard Jesus do, that he would go and lay hands on them. Because it says later that when he got back, his whole family believed.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until the son was healed that he actually had his faith.
Yeah.
But he was desperate.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what Jesus was saying about the miracles and stuff. How can you believe if only you see miracles?
Yeah. I will need to pick up on that a bit more. Is yours in the same vein?
I guess the thing that I also see is, even whether you're saved or not, we frequently need to be in a really hard place. And, you know, we often pray for people to escape from those, but actually I think I'm being challenged this week anyway that we need to be praying for God to give them what it is that they need to endure, but also for not to pray for healing or whatever it is, to still pray for that, but actually that it is God's will that comes out of that, because it's often quite different to what we want.
Mm. See, that's the thing about this story, okay, is that... let me just pick up and explain, and then I'll tell you. Can you go back to the scripture, just because I've upset the system? At the beginning, John said, Jesus went to Galilee. Jesus himself said that a prophet is not honoured in his hometown, yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they'd been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he had done there. Yeah, he had done there. So what's that about? Okay, so is John saying to us, Jesus said they wouldn't believe him, but they did anyway. But actually, that's not what John is saying. He's saying, Jesus said they're not going to believe in me, but what the Galileans were doing was believing the signs, believing the miracle worker, believing in the... And that's quite normal in this culture. To be a prophet, you would get the... Jesus isn't the only miracle healer of his day. It's quite normal to have miracle workers, you know, who come round. And you believe that they are miracle workers because of the miracles they perform, okay? The signs that they do. But you don't believe in that person, just that God has used that person. And you believe and hope, like exactly what Jill was saying. You believe in the sign, you don't believe in the person. And the other thing that these Galileans were doing, they didn't believe in Jesus, but they were all talking about the sign. Wow, isn't this an awesome sign that God has given us? Look, have you seen this sign? Have you seen what Jesus has done? Have you seen this miracle? Isn't this awesome? And all of the focus is going on the signs. And then this man comes in, okay, who really needs a miracle sign, yeah? He needs this miracle, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. He's looking for the sign. Can you see there's a difference there? Yeah or not? Have I explained it? No? Maybe? Sort of. So hard for me to explain because I think this is our culture. I think because we as Australians, that's me as well, despite the accent. I think we as Australians, we go looking for the signs rather than looking for the relationship with Jesus. And so it's really hard for me to kind of explain it because this is me and I'm blind to it, blind to the times where I'm not looking for the relationship. And what Jesus did with that man was say to him, are you looking? And he wasn't just saying it to that man. He was saying it to all of the Galileans, to the whole crowd of people who are there. Are you here because I do these signs and miracles? Or are you here because you want me? Do you want relationship with me? And I feel like that this story is doing the same thing to us in our context. As our God stands before us and saying, what do you want? Oh, you want me to heal COVID? Is that what you want? Is that your miracle? You want me to lift off mental health issues? And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for those things. You know, I think like Chris said, we do ask for those things. But can you see how suddenly it's about the sign? And then there's Jesus going, hi, I'm a person. Hi. And he answers. As if by magic, a little voice answers. Hi, says Jesus. I'm looking to have relationship with you. And here's the problem, right? Because as soon as I start putting my faith in Jesus and I'm looking for him, there's actually a greater chance that my heart's going to get broken. Because now I'm believing in him and in our relationship. And in our thing together. So if the sign doesn't come or the miracle doesn't come, well, you know, so the sign didn't work. The miracle worker, the magic potion, the spell, the prayer didn't work. That's fine. But when something doesn't work and it's my relationship with a person, well, then now my heart's broken, yeah? So it's much easier, isn't it, to keep it on the level of the signs. And yet we've got, I believe, a God who is calling us this year going, hey, remember me? Do you remember? I'm your friend. I'm the one that you have faith in, not what I do. It's quite different, isn't it? And I think that's why John, places that he puts the stories, they're probably not chronological. He's picked out stories and he's put them in this order because he wants to make his point, okay? So he's not telling you a history, he's got an agenda. And right at the very beginning, he's saying to us, look, just watch out that you're not looking out for the signs and getting so caught up with the signpost and going, oh, isn't it amazing, miracle? miracle promise keeper, that those things that he does, and actually miss the point that the signs were only ever supposed to be pointing you where? Towards the relationship with Jesus. Yeah? Faith in Jesus. But I'm telling you now, faith in Jesus, you're going to have more opportunities for your heart to get broken when it doesn't quite go how you expected. A lot like Russell was saying last week, when you've got your expectations of what God will do and he doesn't do it, we get disappointed and our hearts get broken, okay? Because he didn't match our expectations, and we have to work that through. But surely, that's what we're called to. If we're going to have life, then we are going to have to start looking again at our relationship. And I am speaking to me as much as I'm speaking to you, you know. Don't think I'm going, I've got all this together. I really haven't. I can feel that thing in my spirit of like, I have lost something in my faith. And the thing I've lost is faith in Jesus. So busy getting on with stuff. So busy with the signs. And I think, like I say, I'm feel slightly in the dark because I feel like I'm this person who's doing exactly what John is warning us about, but I can't quite see it. Can't quite work it out. You'll have to work it out. So give up, move on. It's that problem. You focus on the sign, you don't get on with the journey. So that's what the Galileans were doing. So focused on the sign, they didn't welcome Jesus. They just welcomed all the signs he was doing. Oh, brilliant. Yes, he's entertainment. Where's the mic when we need it? It's like going to see David Blaine, yeah? Oh, look, isn't that amazing, yeah? And a magician. He is a magician, right? Yeah. You know when you do that thing and you think, oh, my gosh. Dynamo. So, yeah? Let's go and see the latest entertainment. The latest. Do we not do this in the Christian church, though? What's the latest sin thing? Woo! And I do it. God help me. Oh, no. And so the relationship, faith in Jesus, is the thing he's wanting to pull us into in 2021. Faith in Jesus. So, it was interesting that when he said that thing to that man and said, you just want the sign, and the man says to him, I want my son healed. That's actually what I want. And then the response of that man to go away by himself, he's got faith now in Jesus, hasn't he? He's not taking Jesus with him to be the sign, the miracle worker. He's put his faith in Jesus when he went away. Something in that harsh, provoking, that harsh response of Jesus. Maybe you don't see it as harsh. I did. I was shocked when he did that. But I'm often shocked with the way he speaks to me as well. And I think, well, that wasn't very nice, you know. And so, might not be nice, but it's exactly what we need to hear. Yeah? Are we in a place of relationship where God is able now to speak to us and say, this is exactly what you need to hear, and you're not going to like to hear it? Yeah? Because that's relationship. Doesn't your best friend tell you? You know, your bum does look big in that, you know? That is not the colour you should be wearing. They're real friends. Yeah? Where's our relationship at? Where's our relationship at? Okay. That's the whole thing. Jill's saying that's the whole point, I think, of this message. Yeah? So, what was it John said right at the start of this gospel? He said, those who believe in Jesus, believe Jesus as the Messiah, and by believing, we would have life in Jesus' name. Okay, that's the whole reason he's doing it, that we would believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and that we would have life living in the kingdom of God, in the new Exodus, because we believe in the name of Jesus, we believe in the person of Jesus. That's his whole thing, church, I want to put it to you. Do you think we're living in the bare minimum of our faith? Do you think we've sort of slid to the edges of what could be and what we're being called to be? I don't know. It seems like this is what this passage is putting to us. So that's something I want to leave you with today. Have you gone sliding off to the edge? Or do you think that God is calling us in 2021 to something that's a bit more meaningful, a bit deeper, way riskier, way scarier? But he's actually calling us to have faith in him, not in what he does for us, or I don't know, but just have faith in Jesus. Let's stand. Father, we want to thank you for the challenge of your word. We want to thank you for the challenge that you are to us, the challenge of your spirit. And Lord, we want to recognize that everything that's being said in this passage, I have to confess, Lord, I don't fully get it. I see it, but I don't fully understand it. I see it, and yet I can't quite put it into my own life because I live in this place, Lord. I've gotten used to it. I'm enculturized. And so, God, I pray that you would come by the power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you would confront us and provoke us as you did with that official. And, Lord God, I pray that just like Barry said, that idea that, Father, because we've actually met with Jesus, that, Lord, that fame, Father, would spread beyond us and beyond ourselves. And that others will, Lord God, hear of your name and your glory, and others will come to know you, Lord. We're not just praying here for ourselves. We're not just trying to be insular. We are aware, Lord God, that the journey of the kingdom of God is so, the new Exodus is for those of you who are near and for those of you who are far. And Lord God, we pray that we would be a people, Lord, who are near, a people, Lord God, who have faith in Jesus, and that your name would be glorified. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.